Welcome to the Greater Church Podcast. We are praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message will be an encouragement and blessing to you. And now, here's today's message.
Focus, focus, focus. When we think of a vision, and lights are going to come up so I can see y'all. When we think about vision, vision is a topic sometimes that I think for a lot of us, it means different things. Today, I want to unpack what that looks like in your life. And would you do me a favor and would you turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. A very familiar passage I think we can quote. And I think in times we've actually used this. And hopefully, what I'm trying to do is take something that's simple and I'm trying to create practical handles for you. So the message today is going to be very practical in nature. Grab something to write with, because I promise you, these are things that you're going to be able to write down. You're going to walk out of here, hopefully, with some real tools, not only inspired, but adequately prepared to be able to do what God asked you to do. Today I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Come on, would you pray with me? As we start this kind of message series, I'm talking to you from this idea or this subject, focused faith. Focused faith. That's going to be the title to the message. Father, we love you. We thank you today, Lord God, that we can spend time with you. Lord, what you've done with a bunch of crazy people that just believe for more is absolutely incredible. Thank you, Lord God, for the amount of stories, Lord, people's lives that have been affected. I'm grateful, Father, that we get to build your church. I'm so grateful, Lord God, that we get to do the mission and the mandate that you called us to do. Today, Father, help us to be able to focus, Lord, and help our faith, Lord God, to be focused. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' beautiful name that I pray, Lord God. Amen and amen. Come on, one more time. Would you put your hands together for Jesus? Focused, focused faith. Yo, I remember when I was a kid, we had cameras, but our cameras were a little different. Our cameras, you had one shot. You better stick your stomach in. You got one shot, bro. Hold your breath. Ladies, y'all had that weird leg that you used to put out. I don't know which one it was. You know what I mean? You had to figure out which one did you like. No, I don't like that side. This one right here. You couldn't do all that. You had one shot, y'all. And then you click, 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 click. You know what I mean? You roll the little deal. Now you have these things. And with these things, I mean, you could take so many pictures that it's 68 pictures. And there'll be 10 people inside the picture. You're only looking at yourself. Oh, my God, no, take that off. I don't like the way I smiled. We couldn't do that before. What was crazy about these cameras is that you can capture images. And, I mean, they're so pristine and so beautiful if you do it the right way. If you don't do it the right way, then they start to become blurred and you can't even tell what it is that you're doing. As a matter of fact, I think if you look on the screens here, right, you see this. This is a picture of the crowds. It's going to come up in 2 seconds. Watch, I promise. And here is a picture of the crowds. It's going to come up. Dun, 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 dun. When you think about these pictures... These pictures can become very blurred, right, in nature. And what happens is that you start to look at things. And what's crazy about it is that you would look at things that you know what it is. I mean, you know exactly what it is, but because of the image sometimes, it doesn't look like what it definitely is. Like, you look over here, you don't know what's happening right here. I mean, I'm not too far. You can see it. But if you were looking just at that image, you wouldn't even be able to understand what it is. I mean, these are simple objects. You're like, yo, is that a demon? Like, what is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that thing right there? Like, what happens is that it is out of focus. At the beginning of the year, we had this thought, right? And the thought was, in 21 days of prayer and fasting, for a lot of us, when we think about spiritual matters, this is what it looks like. Our spiritual life sometimes looks like this, and we have no idea what is happening. And so I posed this thought that I think we all kind of deal with. I think number one, we love God the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. We love God. We love Jesus. You know what I mean? He saved us. Christmas and Easter. You know what I mean? Like, we love Jesus. The Holy Spirit depends on what kind of church you go to. You feel me? Because he could freak you out, or he could be the thing that you rely on to live daily. I mean, it just matters theologically. What have you been taught? For some of y'all, the Holy Spirit is $7.99 to pay for an anointed cloth. And for some of you, the Holy Spirit is the very thing that snatched the flavor of alcohol and crack and drugs out of your life. But spiritual matters look like this, especially when we talk about the devil. You know what I'm saying? We don't like the devil in church. We don't talk about the na-na-na-na. We don't do that. We don't like that. You know, that stuff is that's kooky. No, it's actually Ephesians chapter 6. And for a lot of us, the idea was that we were being cooked. And so what I did was that hopefully in a matter of 3 weeks in January, we were able to kind of just focus some things. And we gave you some prayer tools to be able to lean in and spend some time with Jesus. And 21 days of prayer were absolutely beautiful. And then we took the next month, me and my beautiful wife sat there and we preached, because sometimes in our relationships, they begin to get blurry. And this is what our marriage looked like for some of us. And we're single and we're trying to feel, we single and ready to mingle. But bro, whatever has a heartbeat, I don't care if you cross-eyed, buck-tooth with one leg. Like, we just, whatever. I just need somebody, I need a boo thing. You know what I mean? Like, I want a Netflix and chill. I need something. And what happens is that we looked at relationships. For some of us business owners who are in the room, we've traded employees as slaves. And we found ourselves in spaces where people keep leaving us and we don't know why. And it's because relationships look like this. And what we did in February was that we just try to bring a little bit of clarity. We try to help you to see what was really in front of you. Why? Because I believe that if you have focus, you can have vision. But it has to be together. Because what happens, and I believe in scriptures, when you begin to think about these things, you start to see where it gets hazy. Here's what I wanna show you. And found in Proverbs 28:18 that we talked about at the very beginning. It'll come up in the screens in a moment. But before I do that, what is vision? Like, when we talk about vision, is it like a premonition of something? Is it like when you woke up or when you were walking in the park and all of a sudden you saw like this, all of a sudden I saw this like rainbow come up, and then there was like a unicorn came out of it and was like, and then this angel said, my daughter unto thou. You know what I mean? Like, what? And I don't want to minimize and I don't want to make it seem as if that is not real. This church, we didn't have rainbows and unicorns. That wasn't how this thing happened. But this church was a vision that God showed me. What I'm seeing now is not completed, but what I'm seeing now is a picture of what God showed us. Now, here's the truth, though. When it comes to vision, we think that it's this big, grandiose thing, and here it is. A lot of times it is. But what if I just brought vision into a very practical way that you can actually hold on to it and actually do something with it? I was with some pastors in Utah a few months ago, a couple years ago, with World Vision. How many of y'all remember World Vision? Remember the TV commercials that would guilt you into spending, giving kids money? And so we were with World Vision, and the director of World Vision, he gave this story. The culmination of the story, I'm hoping, is the thesis. Not only the thesis, but I'm hoping that it's something that you walk out of here with. He gave this story of this man that was on a cruise ship with his daughter. And when they were sitting in the cruise ship, they looked out over the waters and it was just absolutely beautiful. But his daughter was very, very little and she couldn't see past the guardrails. And what she did was, daddy, daddy, I can't see. Can you lift me up? And so her dad grabbed her and put her on top of her shoulders, on top of his shoulders. And here it is that she was above everybody. The daughter said one thing that I hope we pull out of here. One thing that I hope we can actually hold on to. She said, daddy, 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 I can see further than my eyes can look. I can see further than my eyes can look. This is what vision is. Vision is sight, optica. The word is optica. Optica means sight above sight or sight beyond sight. That you can actually see things that have never existed and you can picture them, you can see them and bring them into reality. That you can actually have a vision of something that you want to do in your life and you can start taking some steps and begin to see that thing where years later you're able to say, wow. Moms, you know what that looks like. You always wanted to have a family. And then all of a sudden you got married. You thought about what that baby would look like, his name, I mean, all type of things. And now you sit there and you watch that teenager and you want to throw him against the wall. Praise the Lord. I can see further than my eyes can look. It's vision. Somebody say vision. Here's a few things about vision. Number one is that vision comes to the one, but it is usually, most of the time, accomplished by some. It comes to one, but it is accomplished by some. Let me show you what this means. There are personal visions that God has given you and things that you don't need a lot of help to be able to accomplish those things. They're smaller in nature, but man, God put it in your heart. You can knock it out, have some assistance for some people. And then there's corporate visions. There's these big visions that God puts in your heart that you need people to go alongside of this journey with you to be able to accomplish it. The bigger the vision, the more that you need people on the journey with you. Could that be the reason why you've been stuck in the same place wanting to accomplish something, but you've been doing it for so long on your own that the key to this thing is that you bring people on the journey with you because you have a corporate vision. God trusts you enough to be able to have a corporate vision that will not just affect you, but affect people around you. Ain't this the picture of Moses? Moses, who was like in a different land, his people, his family members were being ostracized, were being killed, were enslaved, and he was on the wrong team. And then he steps out of that scene, he sees his people, his heart breaks, and he kills somebody. Bro got a murder, and then he goes on the run. He ends up in another land, and while he was working, tending sheep, God meets him and gives him a vision. But that vision wasn't meant just for him. That vision, God had to rescue people from all over the place to be able to bring them to the promised land. He had to have Miriam and Aaron, and he had to have Joseph. He had to have so many people because it was a corporate vision. Paul, the writer of 65% of the New Testament, he was given the vision to preach to the Gentiles. At this point, Jews only spoke to Jews. And here it is, the Christians, they would only reach the Jews. But here it is that God tells Paul, I want you to reach people that are not Jews. I want you to reach people that don't have your same skin color. They don't come from your same place. They're not from your city. They don't look like you. They don't smell like you. But I want you to reach them. And I want you to give them the gospel. Paul couldn't do that on his own. He had to get Silas and he had to get Timothy and Barnabas and incredible women of God that came alongside of him and helped them to be able to reach these people. Jesus. I mean, a savior of humanity. He comes on the scene. Number one, he lives for 30 years disciplined and in subjection to the vision of another person, his father, mother. But then 30 years, he steps into the scene and he begins his ministry. And the first thing that he does is not open his LLC. He doesn't open his website or his MySpace. The first thing that he does is that he goes and he recruits 12 different individuals, messed up individuals. The oldest one was 24 years old. The youngest one was about 14 years old. And he grabs these rambunctious youth group and he begins the process of teaching them, discipling them. 2,000 years later, here it is that me and you now, we're a byproduct of the corporate vision that God had. And we, what was given to one, has been accomplished by some. Your vision, sometimes it's going to be given to you, but you're going to need people along the journey to be able to do that with you. This thing called Greater Church, this wasn't like something that happened because of a talent of me and my wife. Yo, I'm not that good. I'm still trying to figure stuff out. But you know what God did do? Is that God allowed for us to have incredible people on the journey with us. That we had a dream and these people came alongside and say, yo, we see the dream, we see the vision in you, let's step into this thing. And then they started to work and they started to do things. You see a Brianna, you see people who have been with us on the journey. You see an Emily who just came up here and rocked it. I was like, what a beautiful name it is. People who have stepped up and been a part of this, and Nunzi, and I could say Skip in the back, and David and Mike. I mean, I could just go down the list of over 100 people that have stepped in and said, this is my church. And these people that came up here and said, yo, let's move the vision forward. Because the vision isn't about a church getting bigger. The vision is about the kingdom of God, about watching broken, lost people come to Jesus. Not about building a name on the side of a wall. Greater Church is part of the Big C Church. But the vision has always been lost people because we were lost. Yeah. But this thing happens and it's given to one, but it's accomplished by some. Not only that, but I believe that the vision will focus your faith. Because for a lot of us, it gets real hazy. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do this? Like, God, what did you call me for? What did you create? Some of you, you sit in your bed day after day, and you're just trying to figure out, man, what am I supposed to do in life? And I'm going to give you some tools to be able to find it. But you're sitting there, and you're just, everything looks hazy. But when you finally get that picture of what it is that you're supposed to do, let me help you see this. The birthplace of vision is purpose. And purpose is not something that you discover. Purpose is something that's in your design. So when you just understand what you do and the things that you probably seem super familiar with and you're just like, ah, that's just me. That's just the stuff that I do. No, that's the stuff that God has created strength in you to be able to master and to get better at, because that's the thing that he wants to use in your life. So don't minimize what God has placed inside of you. But if you can understand your design, you can understand your destiny, your purpose. Vision is birthed out of that, because now all of a sudden you start to look and you're like, yo, what would it look like if I actually began to try to start that nonprofit? What would it look like if I just went and did one foster kid? I might not be able to do 10, but I'm gonna just start with one. What would it look like if I actually said, you know what, I'm gonna write this thing down that's been in my heart and I wanna help marriages. Hey, I wanna be a youth pastor. God put this in my heart. I'm gonna go talk to Pastor Chino. Hey, Pastor Chino, I wanna start doing Bible studies inside of the school. Hey, Pastor Chino, I got a heart for discipleship. I wanna open up the Bible and I wanna start teaching and I wanna disciple people and we can walk this journey out together. What would it look like if you actually saw the picture of the vision? Once it comes into focus though, listen to me, you can write this down. Vision without action is just an idea. Vision without action is just an idea. But when vision starts to get in focus and then it starts to take some steps, that thing will start to consume you and it'll start to create discipline inside of you. Now, all of a sudden, you ain't worried about what everybody else is doing because you know exactly where you want to go at. Ain't this the truth? When we were dating, y'all remember, and some of my people that were born in the 1900s when we didn't have cell phones, y'all remember we used to have one phone and that junk used to have the long cord so that you can go hide, you know what I mean, and talk to somebody? Some of y'all, when you found your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you were consumed. You had a vision. Fellas, our vision was a little different. But you know what I'm saying? But we're a little different. But women, y'all have beautiful visions because you like met the guy and you were like, oh my God, our first daughter is going to be called Susan. We're going to live in this house. Oh my God, what I'm going to do in that living room? Oh, you have no idea. We're going to throw the best parties. Like, your mind goes because you start to see the vision and then you start to take some steps. Fellas, y'all were sitting there, you were arguing, you would fight with your brother. You ain't never answered that phone when it rang in your house, but you were just waiting for that phone, dog. As soon as it rang, you thought it was her, you were fighting, pushing people out the way to go grab that. And if you had a little bit of money, you had the portable phone with the antenna, you know what I'm saying? And you had that junk right next to you and you grabbed it. Hello, hello? Hey, can I speak to Chino? Oh, hey, what's up? Your voice went down, you know what I'm saying? Hey, what's going on, girl? I was just sitting here. I didn't even know you were going to call. I didn't care, you know? because you were focused. Because there was a goal. You had a vision. There was something that you wanted to accomplish. Can I tell you that when you have a vision, it will discipline you. It'll make you tunnel vision. It'll put you in a space where you're not worried about other options because you're like, you know, I know where I need to go. Unfortunately, 85%, listen to me, 85%, if I ask you to raise your hand, 85% of the church has no clue what their purpose is, has no clue what they were created to do. Again, if you understand your design, you'll understand your destiny. But when you do understand it, that junk will consume you. You start listening to podcasts. I mean, you're watching YouTube videos from 1935. You're like, yo, this doesn't even have color. But the content of it is something that you start reading. You don't even like to read. You just read the comments on Facebook to argue with people. Like, that's the only thing you read. But all of a sudden now you're buying books. Your wife is like, yo, where'd you get 2 books from? I'm going to read them. Man, just get the Audible. You're never going to read them. They've been sitting there for a while. Just get the Audible, put it in your head, and listen to it. But you start to invest your money in things. You actually start to take some steps, and then you start to get consumed with that thing. Now, every idea that comes, you're like, nah, I can't do that. Is that not the picture of Jesus? Yeah. Hey, Jesus, why don't you become a Pharisee? For what? I got a cross. Yeah.
hey, well, become a Sadducee. Like, this is what we want you to do. A religious Sanhedrin. Like, you're the utmost of the gallantest, bravest. No, I got a role and I got a mission that I need to accomplish. It will discipline you. It'll put you in spaces and it will do things for you that other people can't. We read this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 at the very beginning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That word perish doesn't mean that they die. That word perish means that they lose restraint. They become undisciplined. So if you don't have a vision in a company, that's when you see the company undisciplined. If there is no vision in your marriage, hey, babe, I love you. You love me. Let's get better. We're going to do three things. Tell me three things that you want me to work on. I'm going to tell you three things that I want you to work on. And these three things, for the next month, we're just going to take baby steps to be able to accomplish it. And hey, we're going to get this book and we're going to read this book together. Every morning, we're just going to read one chapter and we're going to talk about, there's a vision to your marriage. There's a vision to this thing. Now, all of a sudden now, you start to take the steps because you're like, yo, I'm single and I want to date, but I want to have a purpose. There needs to be a vision to the way that I date. I don't want to just date casually because casual is the root word of casualty. And so I want to make sure that there is purpose in why I'm dating you. And I want to start taking some intentional steps because when you have a vision for something, you get focused. Some of y'all have been trying to figure out what to find a vision. You'll wake up in the morning. You won't sleep so long. You'll stop watching pornography. You'll stop drinking so much alcohol. You'll stop using so much drugs. You won't hang out with somebody till 3 o'clock in the morning because you know, yo, tomorrow I got a meeting with two businessmen that hopefully they can invest in this idea that I have, this vision that I have. And I can't sit up there looking all groggy and tired and smelling like yesterday. I need to be fresh in my mind. I need to have an understanding. I need to be reading. I need to give them a proposal. I can't just write a contract and find it on ChatGPT. ChatGPT, write me a contract. No, I need to know what I'm talking about because I got a vision. Yeah. When you have a vision, it'll focus you. It'll discipline you. And last, vision should always be out of reach, but never out of sight. That's what I mean. It should be out of reach. This is hard for me to do, but it's not hard for me to see. Now, the seeing part, sometimes for you, you can't even communicate it. For some of us who are filled with vision, you sit with people and you're just like, man, I want to do this and I want to do that. And after I do this, I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to talk to this person. I want to build this, but I have to wait for that to happen so that I can come back to step eight. And then when I do this and people are just like, bro, what is wrong with you? What's wrong with you is you got vision.
Yes.
What's wrong with you is you got vision.
Yeah.
And people who don't have vision, when they hear that, they get overwhelmed. They're like, yo, I just want to find out what happened to Rick in The Walking Dead. I don't know. This is a lot. But now it disciplines you. I don't need to discipline you. It puts you in a space where now you understand that, like, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 has purpose, context behind it. Watch this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly over what you can ask, imagine, and that word right there, think.
Yes.
That word right there, think. According to the power that works. So you're saying that you don't discover purpose, that purpose is already living inside of you? Hold on. Could it be that exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, imagine, or think? It's already inside of you? I mean, that's what scripture says. I'm not exegeting. This isn't no like prosperity gospel. It's exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask according to the power that's already inside of you. So could it be that sometimes with vision, not only do you need to bring people inside of it and allow for people to help you with it, not only does it discipline you and you need to understand like, yo, these are the things that I do and this is what I don't do, but it actually puts you in a space where God, depending on your vision, because some of us approach God with these visions and nothing that you will ever, you give God 14 different steps and God will laugh at you. Not because he's like, oh, you're doing too much. He's like, you're not doing enough. What I want to do with you is so much exceedingly abundantly. I got to give it to you. What you said is awesome. I'm going to answer your prayer. Now to him who's able to do, I'm asking God to do something. This is a big deal, God. I can't figure out how we're going to pay for this, how we're going to launch this, how we're going to start this. But I'm going to ask you, and then God is going to take what I ask, and he's going to go, watch this. And he's going to add exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or imagine or think. Why? Because our purpose, our vision, what we have in our hearts, God always wants to do it more. And for some of you, it's going to be a phase one to that thing. It's going to be a phase two and a phase three and a phase four. And it's going to continue to live. You're going to come to God and you're going to say, God, I need this. And this is what I want to do. And all of a sudden, a year later, you're looking at that and you're like, hey, God, I don't want to bother you. You know what I'm saying? I know I already asked and you did it, but God, can I do this? And the whole time, God is sitting up there. When your heart is to glorify him, when you're building the kingdom, what resources will he hold from you? Things that are already living inside of you. It's just, you got to walk this thing out. Vision without action is an idea. But what happens when you put action to your vision? What are some of the things that God will begin to do in your life? Nothing on earth was ever created without vision. Amen. Nothing. Everything that we ever seen, existence, everything that has ever happened, it was vision. Isn't that Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? Yes. Genesis 1, 26 says, then God said, watch this, vision. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Vision. God saw a human clothed in flesh, and then God said, I want to breathe inside of him. And when I breathe inside of him, I want him to actually begin to do stuff, and I got a plan of what I want. It's vision. This is vision. Vision is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Vision is when we sinned and we broke the world, Adam and Eve, but then God said, I'm going to bring a seed. Yes. I'm going to introduce a seed and he's going to bruise. He's going to save you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a plan. It was a vision that God had. This is what I'm going to do with Jesus. Jesus himself had a vision. He submitted his vision. We knew it when he was 12 years old. He was sitting inside of the church and he stayed there for 2 days. Remember, his mom came back and then she was like, why were you lost? And he's like, don't you know that I got to be about my father's? Jesus. He had a vision, but yet he submitted and he knew I got to develop this thing. But it's always been vision. Everything that we've seen is a vision from God. Psalm 22 paints a picture of who Jesus is. But then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we really see a beautiful picture of what vision looks like. When we're talking about persecution in Hebrews chapter 12 in the hall of faith, and he says in about verse 2, he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Yeah. And then he says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, now seated at the place of honor besides God's throne. Because of the joy awaiting him. Yeah. In just a few weeks, we're going to talk about this joy. Can I get some keys? Anybody here? Somebody help me? Easter is all about Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. In Easter, we see how Jesus was punched. The Bible says that he was marred beyond recognition. They put a crown of thorns on him. His back was whipped so bad that when he was up on a tree, that to breathe, he had to go up and down. We'll talk about it more in Easter. But Jesus lived an excruciating death. I mean, bro, he was pierced on the side. The things that he went through. But yet he has the audacity, the writer of Hebrews, to say because of the joy awaiting him. What do you mean joy awaiting him? He was about to get killed. Yeah. Walt Disney. Just read this story not so long ago. Walt Disney had this thought. He was sitting on a park bench in his house, at Disney World in Orlando. He was sitting on this bench and he was looking out into this open field. And for days at a time, he would just get lost in space. And his wife was like, yo, what is going on? And so she goes over and she says to him, she says, hey, babe, what are you doing? He's like, there's a mountain right there. She's like, a mountain? Man, it's just land. What do you mean a mountain? He's like, I see it. There's a mountain there. And for days at a time, he's consumed with this. And then he begins to write stuff down. A backup too? He begins to write it down and he starts to schematics and he starts to print stuff and he creates this entire plan. Unfortunately, he passes away before he's ever able to instill this plan. This plan, though, was picked up by developers and individuals who were a part of Disney World. And in such a beautiful way, they built what we know now as Space Mountain. And so they built Space Mountain that was so beautiful. It was filled with so many. If you've ever been to Disney World, you've been in Space Mountain. It's scary. I remember the first time I took my kids,
They cried. They were under the line, but I snuck them in anyway. They cried the whole time. It was like dark. I'm looking over. Did they fall out? You know what I'm saying? It was just bad, but it was the best. Well, Space Mountain is created, and they do the inauguration. And when they do the inauguration, a guy comes up there. He's like, hey, guys, thank you so much for coming out here. And I was so grateful that we got to build this thing together. So many people are going to enjoy this for years to come, and I was so happy. He says, man, I only wish that Walt Disney would have been able to see this. It's unfortunate that he never got to see his dream. And yo, he finishes, he says, hey, today we're going to invite his wife to come up and she's going to share a few words. They're going to do the ribbon cutting, the whole deal. And his wife, feebly, she gets up there and she grabs the mic. It's, thank you guys. I appreciate you guys being here. Thank you for honoring my husband. I just want to take a minute, just 1 second, because I just want to correct something. Because you said that my husband never saw this. What you don't understand is that my husband saw this way before you ever even dream about putting a nail or a rod or putting anything inside of it. My husband saw this mountain for weeks and years at a time. My husband had a picture of this. He saw it way better. There's things that's missing that my husband saw that you haven't even put on yet because you haven't done the upgrades that my husband saw. My husband was sitting on a park bench looking at this empty field. Barren land. Nothing built. Untapped potential. I can imagine Jesus sitting on that cross and looking at you, the joy that was set before him. He's watching and he's just thinking to himself, oh man, wait till I get Jacob. Oh Mike, oh man, it's gonna be a joy. He looked at Chino, he was like, dang, that's gonna be a hard one. We're going to figure this thing out, though. We're going to get you. I promise we're going to get you. And that he's looking and he's just sitting there and just he has his eyes on you. The joy set before him while everybody saw barren land, emptiness, void. He saw a mountain. He saw David. He saw Carlos. He saw you by name and he saw what you will be. When we talk about vision, we talk about everything that was created. Jesus had a vision for you individually. Not only did he want you to do something, but bro, he had a vision of rescuing you. He had a vision of taking a little 8-year-old gang member from the streets of Miami, Florida. A kid who had been in jail 13 different times. His life was an absolute disaster. And he had a vision. He said, I know you see empty land, but I see him March 3rd, 2024, standing in front of a crowd preaching about the gospel that saved him. I see him preaching the gospel all over the world. I see him doing the work. Where you see something barren, where you see a lowly gang member, where you see mess ups, where you see hurt, where you see felonies, I see a mountain, baby. I see something that I'm going to do in and through him. And what God begins to do is call those things that are not as though they are. What's barren to you, it's a mountain. There's vision inside of you. There's things that God wants to do inside of you, but it begins with taking the initial foundation. For some of us in this place, man, we feel empty. We feel like that land that is untapped and potential. And I built some stuff, Chino, but I messed up the foundation. And it was that abortion. It was that addiction. It was the time that I told him and I lied. It was the time that I did this. And Chino, I told God I wasn't going to do that again. And we feel like the land is just barren, filled with rocks. Today, I serve a Jesus that has served notice. He has caused an eviction to happen on that property because he's ready to build some land on you. He's ready to do some works inside of you. He's ready to build a foundation inside of you. He's ready to start building some windows and some doors, put some security around you so nobody can come back in and destroy you and manipulate you and hurt you. Jesus wants to build. How do you start that, Chino? What do I got to do? Is it a builder's cost? Do I need an architect? What does it take? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. I can't save you. Church membership isn't going to save you. Hey, can I tell you the truth? Listen to me carefully, because I want to say this and I want to be very clear with what I say. You stop sinning isn't going to save you. Oh, I got weird now. What do you mean? Hold on. No. The only thing that can save you is Jesus.
Salvation comes because of his blood, because of his sacrifice. The gospel is that he died a death that we couldn't die. He paid a payment that we couldn't pay. There's nothing that I could pay for me to get. Because if you start to try to stop sinning, right? I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing this. And I'm going to stop doing this. And then when I stop doing all those things, then I'm going to come to Jesus. It's a cycle that's a lie. And one that we've been on for too long. Because you can't stop sinning without having the Holy Spirit inside of you. If you stop sinning, it lasts about a month, 2 months, maybe even a year. But eventually, without the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, without God actually doing the work inside of you, you're just doing self-help. But if you actually take a step and say, you know what? The first thing I'm going to do is that I'm going to accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to believe, I'm going to confess with my mouth, and I'm going to believe by faith. All of a sudden now, he gives you the empowerment to be able to do the things that you thought that you can do. Because that cycle, it keeps killing you and it keeps putting you back and forth. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to go to church until I stop doing this. If you can do it on your own, then why do you need God for it? God's the only one that can strip you from sin. He's the only one that not only can pay for your sin, but he can change you. It's the process of sanctification that comes by Jesus and by Jesus alone. So the first step that you take is salvation. It's coming to God and saying, God, I'm a sinner. I messed up. You know that I've done X, Y, and Z, and I don't have any way of paying you for that. But I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, he paid the price for me. He lived the life that I couldn't live. He died the death that I could not die. But then he resurrected to give me a life that I don't deserve. So, Father, I need that in my life. Then things start to change. The Bible says, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, that's called prayer. And if you believe in your heart, that's called faith. That you shall be saved. It's in the book of Ephesians that it says that salvation comes by faith, and by faith alone, it's grace. You can't even boast about it. You can't say, I earned this. You didn't. You got this freely. And today I want to give you an opportunity to be able to receive that freely. Before you ever think about a vision, you got to think about a foundation. And today I want to lay that foundation for you. That foundation is Jesus. Would you do me a favor? Would you bow your head and close your eyes all over this place?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach and empower all people. And we hope that this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please head to our website at www.greater.church, where you can